Amen. Let's go to our, God has a word for us today, and I want to go to our scripture text, which today we find in the Gospel of Mark chapter 3. So if you would, I'm asking you to turn there with me to Mark chapter 3 for our foundational scripture text today. And God is speaking to us today, amen, on the topic of stretching beyond your limits. Stretching beyond your limits. And we're going to look at a passage of scripture in Mark chapter 3 that we find a companion account of this in Matthew 12 and in Luke chapter 6. And you know how we do here. We always encourage that whenever in the Gospels there are companion texts in the different Gospel accounts, that you read each one of them because there are small details and bits of information that you may receive from one of the writers that you did not receive from one of the others. And it's not that they're inconsistent, it's just they're more complete, you know, sort of like eyewitness accounts, right? Everyone doesn't see everything or focus on everything, but they saw the same event unfold, but they have different points of emphasis. And so here in Mark chapter 3, we're going to read, but also understand it's in Matthew chapter 12 and in Luke chapter 6. And this is the man with the withered hand who is in the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And to just summarize this particular passage, Jesus tells him to stretch forth his hand, and his hand was made whole. But let's take a look at the entire scripture text, Mark chapter 3, verse 1 through verse 6, and we'll see what the Lord has for us, because he's calling us today to stretch beyond your limits. He tells each one of us. See, we have limitations, amen. Right now, I think there are certain things that we can believe God for to a certain point, but we haven't gotten past that. And how many of you know, God is about continually increasing and growing us up. We can't stay in the same place. We can't do the same things and yet want something different. We have to go beyond whatever limitations we have. And, you know, I don't know, I think it was Dirty Harry where he said, man has to know his limitations. But see, if we know our limitations, then we have to understand something. Don't be satisfied with them, because God wants us to go beyond our limitations, especially when it comes to believing him. But let's look at the scripture text first. Mark chapter 3, beginning at verse number 1. It says, and he entered again into the synagogue, talking about Jesus. And there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And that they are the Pharisees. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he said unto them, the Pharisees, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life, or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for their hardness of hearts, he saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And the Pharisees went forth, and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. Amen. Let's pray today. Father, we bless your holy name one more time. We thank you, God, for your goodness, your faithfulness, and your love, your everlasting love. And Father God, we are here right now, God, at this place, at this point, to hear your voice. Father God, we lift up our hearts and we incline our ear unto you, God, and we pray that you will speak down from heaven and give us a word of life. Father God, we thank you, Lord, that your word is true, that your word is dependable, that your word is forever settled in heaven. Now, God, as you speak forth your word, let it be settled in us. And let us take this word that we hear today and walk it out in faith in the name of Jesus. Father, we bless you, we praise you, we honor you, O God, right now for what you're going to do. Let your word go forth, and we receive it now by faith in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask you now to just use me for your glory, God. I decrease, may you increase in me, O God, and may you, O Father, be given all of the praise for what shall transpire. We love you, Lord, and we give you all thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, praise God for his help. Stretching beyond your limits. Amen. We just read Mark chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, and it tells us, amen, that Jesus went into a synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he saw this man with a withered hand. And Jesus, the scripture tells us that he was being watched closely by the Pharisees because they wanted to see what he was going to do. And we have to take a little bit of a step back to really get a sense of this scene right here, because it wasn't that long ago that on another Sabbath day, the Pharisees had challenged Jesus because his disciples had gone through fields of grain and they had rubbed the grains together so that they can get the kernels so that they could eat. And in fact, that account is at the tail end of Mark chapter 2. When you read this account in Matthew, it seems as if it happened on the same day. Luke says it was on another Sabbath day. Point is that on the Sabbath, the Pharisees once took Jesus' disciples to task because they had went through the fields of grain and they had plucked some of the grain, some of the corn, and they started eating it. And to the Pharisees' point of view, by rubbing the grain so that you can get to the kernels and eat, that was harvesting. And they said that you're not supposed to work on the Sabbath. Harvesting is work. Therefore, your disciples are violating the Sabbath because they're working. And Jesus said to them, haven't you ever heard of the story of David and the showbread, or the hallowed bread that was in the temple? And, you know, that hallowed bread was put there every Sabbath, right? And it would stay for a whole week. And it was to stay there, and it wasn't common bread, it was hallowed bread. And the only ones who could eat that bread after the week were the priests who were ministering in the temple. And there was a story of David who came with his men when he was running from Saul, and they were hungry. And David said to the priest, do you have anything here to eat? And he said, all I have here is this hallowed bread. I don't have any common bread. And David said, well, give us 5 loaves. And there was 12 loaves that are in the temple, one for each tribe. And, you know, the priest said, well, have your men, have they kept themselves clean? You know, and he says, yeah, we can eat the bread. And so the priest gave David some of the bread. And it was hallowed bread. It was bread that was only for the priest to eat. And, you know, Jesus brought this up because he was saying, and he was trying to get a hold of the Pharisees and let them understand something. Yes, there are rules, and yes, there are things that God wants all of his children to do, all of his servants to do. Yes, that bread is only for the priests. But here was a situation where you had a man and his army, and they were hungry. And the priest gave them the bread, and Jesus speaks of that approvingly. Now, David, when you go back to the scripture text, he wasn't exactly telling the truth. Okay, he said, I'm on a special mission here. And really, he was just running from Saul. But Jesus wasn't condoning David's lie. He was talking about something bigger. He was talking about the priest, who I believe was Ahimelech, who didn't get caught up on the fact that, no, this bread is only for the priest. He saw some hungry men and said, I'm going to feed them. Why? Because there's the letter of the law, and then there's the spirit of the law. And the letter does say this bread is only for the priests. But the spirit of the law is, if you see somebody in need, you help them. And so here it is on the Sabbath day, the Pharisees were more concerned about Jesus' disciples harvesting, according to them, because they were rubbing the grains together, than they were about those men being fed. But Jesus also wanted to make a bigger point. The letter of the law about Sabbath says you rest on the Sabbath day. But the spirit of the law is that you rest so that you can worship. It's not just about rest. It's about rest and worship. And if you're going to worship God, then you're going to do things that are consistent with who God is, that shows forth his character, his goodness, and his glory. So if you're really honoring the Sabbath, you're not just resting. You're resting and worshiping, which means if you see someone has trouble, you see someone is in a problem, you see someone needs help, you don't ignore them because it's the Sabbath. I'm resting. No, right. You help them because that shows forth the goodness of your God. And when you show forth God's goodness, how many of you know you're worshiping? Worship is not just singing some songs and clapping hands and playing music. Worship is how you and I live. When we do good, we're worshiping God. That's why Jesus said that we should let our light so shine before men that others may see our good works and they will glorify our Father in heaven. When you and I do good, we give glory and worship unto God. Other people will glorify God because of good things that you and I will do in his name.
Yes.
And so Jesus was letting these Pharisees know, it's not simply about rest, it's about rest and worship. There's a difference between ritual and relationship. And the Pharisees were concerned about the ritual of Sabbath. We rest on the Sabbath day. And the relationship, if you're in a relationship with the God of the Sabbath, you realize, yes, it's the time for me to rest, but it's time for me to rest and to demonstrate my relationship with God. And that might mean that I'll do some things on the Sabbath day if someone is in need. And they didn't quite get that point. And so he told them that when it came to the grain. And so now he's in the synagogue. And as he comes into the synagogue, there's a man there who has a withered hand. Now, we don't know if it's his right hand or if it's his left hand, but he only has one of them that's withered, right? And it says then, as he comes in, and there's the man with the withered hand, it said they watched him. The Pharisees were watching Jesus. They said, let's see what he's going to do. And I don't know, it must have been something about Jesus as he walked in that they had a sense that Jesus was going to do something. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's because as Jesus walked in, he caught a glimpse of the man. Maybe it's because, when Jesus had a certain look on his face when he looked at the man, they could tell he was concerned about him. Maybe it's because Jesus just kept looking at the man and looking at his hand, and they could see, it must have been something. Because this man is not the only man in the synagogue. I have to believe there are others there. There were other Pharisees there, I believe. There were other people there. But the Pharisees said, oh, look at him. He's looking at that guy with the withered hand. Let's see what he's going to do because it's the Sabbath day. But they knew Jesus wants to do something for him. Let's see. Let's keep a close eye on him and see what he's going to do. And the thing is that they were right. Jesus did want to do something for this man. He wanted to do something to change this man's life. Because this man was limited. This man, because of his withered hand, more than likely couldn't work, right? Or could only work in certain fields or something like that. But, you know, when he had a handicap, and Jesus wanted to do something about it. And that's the thing about, we gotta understand about God. I believe right now that we need to fix our heart and our mind on something. God wants to do something for us to change our situation.
Yes.
Amen. Right? We need to have that. We need to have that in our heart and our minds at all times. God wants to do something for us to change our situation around. And just like this man with the withered hand, there were certain things he couldn't do. He had some limits. He had some restrictions. He couldn't do certain things. And how many of you know, some of us have some limits and restrictions right now too. There are certain things we can't do. And I don't know if there's financial restrictions, health restrictions, relationship restrictions, things that are keeping us back in all kinds of ways. But God wants to do something for us to lift those limitations off our lives. He wants to do something for us to change our situation around. Mm-hmm. And even if you've been in that situation for a long time, I've been in debt for a long time. I've been in despair for a while. I've been in this state of like, you know, you ever go through this kind of like glory to God. It's like, it's a malaise. You know what I mean? Where you're just kind of, yeah, you believe, but it's like, there's nothing really happening. There's no energy, there's no passion, but you believe, but, you know what I mean? It's just a malaise. It's just like, yeah, I still believe God. It's not about that. Yeah, I'm still reading. Yeah, I still go to church. Yeah, I still sing some songs, but, it's just a malaise. And you might be there for a while. It's almost like, it's not quite being in the valley of dry bones, but it's probably worse. Because at least when you're in the valley of dry bones, you know you're in the dry bones. Like here, you're kind of still hanging on, but it's like, what did Jesus say? He said, I'd rather you be hot or cold.
Right.
See, there's something messed up about being lukewarm. There's something messed up about being in the middle. Not really dry, but not really watered either. You're kind of... And God wants to change that. He wants to do something for you. Amen. He wants to change your outlook on life. He wants to change, you know, your relationships, your marriage, your relationships with your children, things on your job. And see, sometimes we get into these things. We got our routines, don't we? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? We got our routine. And some of us don't want our routines to be messed up at all. Right? Don't mess up my routine. I got a routine in the morning. I got a routine in the evening. I got a routine on the weekend. I got a routine on certain days of the week. Yeah. Right? We got routines. And we don't want them to be messed up. But sometimes routines turn to ruts.
Yeah.
And the thing is that, oh, glory to God, we need to pray to God that we can recognize when routine turns to rut. Because routines may not be so bad in the sense that it gives you some order in your life, but ruts are messed up. You don't want to be in a rut. To be in a rut means that you're in a place where you're not moving forward at all. It's like, you understand what I said? You're not moving forward at all. Mm-hmm. I remember listening to that speech that is on the internet about Denzel Washington. He was speaking to some graduating class. You saw that speech? And one of the things, he said a lot of powerful things there. And one of the things that he said was really so powerful, he said his mother taught him, he said, don't confuse movement with progress. Mm-hmm. He said, that's what his mother told him. He said, because you can run in place all day and never go anywhere.
Yeah.
And that's the truth. You can do this. I can do this for 24 hours. You come back in 24 hours, I'm going to be right here. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna be, I won't go forward any, I won't go back. I'll be in the same place I was, but I sure was moving, wasn't I?
Yeah.
And that's the thing about a rut. You can be moving, but you aren't going anywhere.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And so we gotta understand that sometimes routine turns to rut, and it can happen subtly, and you don't even know that it happened. But you'll look up and then you start saying, everything is still the same in my life. Yeah, because you're in a rut. You're in a spiritual rut. You're doing certain things, but you're not making any progress. God wants to change that. God wants to do something for you. God wants to break you out. God wants to liberate you. God wants to, he wants to your situation to be different. God has great plans for you. And it's not to be caught in some routine turn to rut where everything is still the same. This man had a withered hand, and Jesus was looking at him, and his first thought was, I have to do something for him. I want to change his situation around. And that desire for Jesus to change his situation around must have been so strong because the Pharisees recognized it. And that's why they were watching him so closely. But oh, if we could get into our hearts right now, God wants to do something for me. Glory to God. God wants to do something for me. Oh, that could stir up your faith right there.
Yes.
Right? That could stir up your faith right there. Because now you could see, because the focus is on God. God wants to do something for me. Yeah, I'm in this situation right now, but God wants to do something for me. We can start right there, amen? God wants to do something for me. And so Jesus sees this man and he wants to do something for him, and it's so strong the Pharisees can tell. Let's see what he's going to do. And Jesus didn't wait too long either, because it said he came in and then he said to the man, stand forth. And then he said to the Pharisees, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath day or to do evil, to save life or to kill? And they didn't say anything. And he was mad at that because it showed their hardness of heart. But God has a tender heart towards us, amen? Mm-hmm. And so he looked back at the man with a tender heart. He looked at the Pharisees and he was mad. But he looked at the man and he had compassion and love and mercy on that man. And he said to that man, stretch forth your hand. Understand something. And it's so basic, but we can sometimes overlook the basic things in Scripture if we read too fast. This man didn't ask Jesus to do anything. Didn't ask him. Mm-hmm. Jesus simply saw him and wanted to do something for him. This man didn't ask Jesus to do anything. And Jesus comes up to him and starts putting things in motion that's going to transform that man's life. Why is that so important? Because see, again, we get so caught up on what we do, our prayer life. Well, you gotta pray. God can answer prayer. Certainly can. And keep praying, amen. God can answer prayer. Keep praying. But I want you to know something that's even greater than that. Greater than prayer? Yeah, greater than prayer. And you know what it is? It's the heart of God who wants to do something for you, even if you don't ask him. That's greater than prayer. Because even if you don't ask him, God still wants to do certain things for you. And I'm going to tell you something that you probably know, but really haven't focused on. And that's this. There have been more things in your life that God has done for you without you asking than things he's done for you because you asked.
Yep.
Hmm?
Yep.
There are more things that God has done for you without you asking than he has done for you because you asked. Praise be unto God, the scripture is true, that God says, I know what you have need of before you ask. So God doesn't need us to ask him in order to know we have a need. And God is so loving He's so kind. He's so gracious that God does things for you and for me. He does things for us even when we haven't even asked for it.
Yep.
Jesus starts doing things for this man, and this man didn't ask him anything. I think about the woman who the scripture says in Luke chapter 13 was bowed over for 18 years. Right? The scripture says, and she could in no wise lift herself up. Have you ever seen people like that who are bent over and they're walking? Sometimes they walk with almost like the thing on their back, they have their hand on their back or their arm.
Mm-hmm.
Right? She was bent over and could in no wise lift herself up. If you look in Luke chapter 13, it will tell you that Jesus, I love the way it said Jesus saw her, he called her, and then he said to her, it was all Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
He called her, right? He saw her, he called her, then he said to her, woman, thou art loosed from this infirmity.
Yep.
And then it says he laid hands on her, all Jesus. Saw her, called her, right? Said to her, woman, thou art loose. Then laid hands on her, all Jesus. And then it said, and immediately she straightened up.
Yeah.
Go read that scripture. That woman didn't ask him to do anything.
It's true.
He simply saw her and didn't like what he saw. No. That's a daughter of Abraham right there. Because when they got mad, he even said to the Pharisees who were there, ought not this woman who is a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, be loose from this affliction this day?
Mm.
He just looked at her and said, this is not right for one of my children. Glory to God. This is not right. Didn't ask him anything. We need to be encouraged right now. We had said earlier, right? God wants to do something for me, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
God wants to do something for me. Here's the thing. He's actually doing something for you right now that you didn't even ask him to do. I know you're thinking about what you've asked God. Oh, but we keep a scorecard, don't we? We do. We keep a scorecard. We know what we asked God, and we know what he didn't do yet. I've heard that from more Christians than I can count. They tell me what they're waiting on God for. I asked God, and he didn't do it yet. I asked God, and I've been waiting for a long time. I asked God, and I didn't hear anything yet. I know you got that scorecard, but here's a better thing than your scorecard. God right now is working on something for you that you didn't even ask him for. That makes me feel good. That I know that I stand here right now and God is, he's moving things. He's orchestrating things. He's dispatching angels. He's moving people out of the way. He's opening doors. He's closing other doors. He's creating new doors. God is working in my life right now and he's working in your life right now, doing something and working on something that you didn't even ask him for. And I know you're focused on your prayer, but I want you to focus on God for a minute. Amen. I know you're focused on your prayer life, but I want you to focus on God for a minute. Amen. Sometimes it's not your prayer. It's the God who answers prayer. But here's the beautiful thing. We have a God who does things even in the absence of prayer. And right now, that God who loves you so much is working on something just for you that you didn't even ask him for. Jesus came in there, saw that man, said, I'm doing something for him. Man didn't say nothing. Jesus saw that woman bowed over, said, I'm going to straighten this woman's life out. And then she didn't even ask him anything. And that same God, Jesus Christ, the same today, yesterday, forever, that same Jesus is doing the same thing for you and me right now. And so he tells this man, stretch forth your hand. Now, the man he did have to do certain things, right? Jesus did call him and said, stand forth. Now, how many of you know, if the man refused to stand forth, if the man refused to come forward because he was too embarrassed, if the man refused to come forth because, you know, he was confused or he just didn't want to, how many of you know Jesus couldn't do anything for him?
Great.
He had to come forth. Jesus didn't. Okay, stand forth. And then after he told him to stand forth, he told him to do what? He told him, he said, stretch forth your hand. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting about stretching, because stretching means a lot of things, but it means to reach out or to reach forward. Stretching means to go beyond natural limitations. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes when people tell you got to stretch, you know, like when you think about how you stretch your body, right? You know, you have to reach out. You know, you have to stretch. You have to go beyond certain limitations. You know what I mean? When you think you can only do certain things, and people right. say you might have to stretch your imagination, or you just have to stretch out in faith. Mm-hmm. It means that you have to go beyond some previous limitations. This man's hand is withered, which means kind of close to his body. And Jesus is telling him, you're going to have to go beyond the limitations in the natural. You're going to have to stretch. It's funny about this stretching thing. I was stretching this morning. Sister now comes downstairs. She goes, uh-oh, your back hurts? I said, no, I'm just stretching. I was on the floor. I'm doing all these stretching exercises. I said, I'm stretching. Why was I stretching? Well, because God told me a long time ago, he said, you need to stretch every morning. You need to stretch every morning. And how many of you know that you go look it up if you want to. There's benefits to stretching. Most people don't stretch.
Right.
They don't stretch. But doctors will tell you that when it comes to the physical body, there are benefits to stretching, especially in the morning after you get up out of bed. And see, here's the funny thing. See, we humans are just crazy because we know we're all tight and wound up, but we don't do anything to stretch ourselves out. Mm-hmm. But I'm telling you this, when you get out of bed, you think, oh, because I rested last night. Okay, watch this. Watch every animal that walks on land. When a cat gets up from sleep, when a dog gets up from sleep, when a lion gets up from sleep, the first thing they do is what?
Stretch.
They stretch.
Yeah.
That's the first thing they do. A dog gets up, he's like, I had a dog that made that sound. But they stretch. Animals know. They have to stretch. Humans, the smartest ones on the planet, we don't stretch.
Nope.
But doctors will tell you there are so many benefits to stretching, especially in the morning. It says that stretching will increase your circulation. It will increase your flexibility. It will remove stress and tension. Stretching. God told me months ago, he said, you need to stretch. Now, why I'm telling you? Because I haven't exactly been the most obedient fellow on that point. You ever been like that? When God tells you to do something, you go, that's a good idea, but you still don't do it? That's been me until recently, amen. And I realized, no, I need to stretch. Mm-hmm. I need to stretch. Why? Because it has benefits. It has benefits. And you think about you think about what glory to God. You think about what stretching does. Stretching loosens your muscles. Right? It removes tension. It increases flexibility. And all of that gives you better range and free-flowing motion. Think about that. And think about now that Jesus is talking to this man saying, you have to stretch. And here God telling us in the spirit realm that we have to stretch beyond our limits. And what he's saying is, you got to get to a point where you can go beyond your limitations. But see, part of it is that, see, when we do stretch, we put ourselves in a position where we can flow more freely in the things of the spirit, where we can flow more freely in the things of the spirit realm, where we can do some things that we couldn't do before because we were too tightly wound up. God believes in stretching us spiritually. And a lot of us, we rebel against being stretched spiritually. That's why nobody, listen, when God puts you in a situation where you're being asked to do something new, if you don't like it, if you've never done it before, if you don't think that's your strength, what do? You shut down. I can't do that. I need to stay in my lane. That's for somebody else to do. I need you to come up here and share a word. I don't preach. Nobody asking you all that. They just asking you to do this thing. Stretch. Go beyond your previous limitations. And if we don't learn how to stretch, it's going to be very difficult now to tap into those things that we were talking about before. That God wants to do something for you. That God is working on something right now that you didn't even ask Him for. But if you think you're going to get it without stretching your faith, without going beyond your previous limitations, you're in for a disappointment. Because God is not going to do everything. Amen? He's not going to do everything for us. At some point, He's going to say to us, now stand forth and stretch. Mm-hmm. Jesus wanted to heal this man. This man didn't ask Him anything. It was on Jesus' heart to do it, but Jesus knew something. You still have to be a participant. Stand forth and stretch. That man who had, remember the man who had the, glory to God, that man who had the son who had the demon in him and the disciples couldn't cast him out? That man said to Jesus, if you can do anything, please help us. And Jesus said to him, if you believe, all things are possible to them that believe. In other words, He was saying to that man, I know your son's been in a situation for a long time, but you're going to have to stretch your faith right about now. You're going to have to get past what the demons always done to him, how the demons threw him in the water, how the demons gnash at him, how the demons convulse him, how the demons throw him on the ground, how the demons throw him in the fire. You're going to have to get past that, and you're going to have to believe something right now. You're going to have to get past what's been customary for you. You're going to have to stretch forward into a different realm of faith. Because I'm able, if I can, I'm able to do all things. But you have to stretch forth your faith and believe me. And if you can believe, all things are possible. That's what He said to that man. What was He saying to him? You're going to have to stretch your faith. And I think about it, glory to God, in the same way Jesus said to, to Martha when her brother Lazarus had died. Jesus told her, your brother's going to live again. And she goes, I know, Lord, that that God has the ability to raise him up at the last day. And then when Jesus said, where is he? After talking to Mary, where is he? Oh, he's over in the tomb. Roll away the stone. And Martha says what? Don't roll away the stone. It's been 4 days since he's been put in there. By now, he's rotting. His body stinks. It's giving off an odor. And know what Jesus said to her? He said, I not unto thee that if you believe, that you would see the glory of God. What was he saying to her? You gotta stretch. You gotta go beyond these natural limitations. See, right now you're thinking naturally. Right now you're thinking it's 4 days. He in there stinking. And it was true in the natural. But Jesus was saying to her, said I not unto thee that if you believe, you'll see the glory of God? I know there are some things in our lives that just naturally don't, seem like we can't go any further, right? Maybe it's our age. Maybe it's our height. Maybe it's our education. Maybe it's how long we've been in the job. Maybe it's the fact that, we got 2 kids, a goldfish, and a dog, and we got so many things that we got to take care of and all this other kind of stuff. And we got all these things in the natural. Maybe it's all these things. You got health reports from the doctor. You got these things, that thing. You got body aches. You got pain. And see, we look at these things, but some of these things, listen, not that they're not real any more than this man with his withered hand. It was real. But it was just a limitation that Jesus wanted to remove. But in order to remove it, it was going to require some stretching on behalf of this man. And if this man had to stretch to get past a previous limitation in his life, then we have to understand something. We are going to have to stretch too.
Yeah.
If you and I want to get past whatever limitations are holding us back, right? It could be psychological, it could be physical, it could be financial, it could be all kinds of things, right? Things from our past, things from our present, fear for the future, but whatever it is, it's keeping us back. We go to a certain point, but no more. But if we want to break out into that place, those things where God is working on things, I want to do something for you, my child. I'm working on something for you right now. If you think God is just going to hand deliver that thing, if you think he's going to come like the UPS man and just drop it on your doorstep, and you can come home and go, oh, I got a blessing. You're going to have to think again. You are going to have to stretch. If this man had to stretch, you and I are going to have to stretch too. And God is encouraging us. Stretch beyond your limitations. Stop with the things that I can't do and I can't. No. Let what I want to do for you be your motivation. I want to bless you. Man with the withered hand, you didn't even ask me, and I'm already thinking about you. I want to do something for you. I see what you're going through. I see how this is hampering and hindering your life. And I want to change it. And here's the best thing. You've gotten so used to your hindrance that you haven't even asked me to remove it. What is holding you back that you have gotten so accustomed to that it doesn't even bother you? Have you got accustomed to thinking that you can only do certain things? Have you got accustomed to thinking that that your lot in life is only a certain amount of peace, a certain amount of joy, a certain amount of strength, a certain amount of good health, a certain amount of money, a certain amount of influence, a certain amount of this, that, or the other thing? Have you gotten to the point where you just think this is it, and you're okay with it? You ever start to think that maybe God's not okay with it?
Wow.
That he wants you to go beyond the limitation and the hindrance that you have been carrying around for so long that you're now used to it and you're comfortable with it and you're okay with it. But I want you to know there's a God in heaven who's not okay with it. He wants better for you. He wants to do more for you. And you didn't even ask him to do it. But it is going to require you to stretch. It is going to require you to go beyond your previous limitations. It is going to require you to do something different. And so he told this man, stretch forth your hand. If you're over the age of 40 for sure, so certain company excluded. But if you're over 40 for sure, and if you're over 50, it's a guarantee that you have certain pains in your body that you just are used to. They're like old friends. That thing in your knee, that thing in your elbow, that thing in your back, that thing in your shoulder, that thing in your foot. You've had it so long, you would feel strange if it didn't hurt.
Yeah, that's true.
I know it's hard to understand. Right? But you would feel strange if it didn't hurt. Sometimes it's part of our ability to adapt, and that's a good thing on the one hand. But we shouldn't adapt so readily to things that God doesn't want to have in our lives. Because if we adapt to them and accept them and get comfortable with them, then we no longer fight them or have any desire to fight them or for them to be different. But again, God wants to do something in your life. And he wants to remove that hindrance, that limitation, that thing that's holding you back. This man in his withered hand, he can only do certain things in his life. And Jesus saw him and said, I want to do something about that. And Jesus started moving, and the man didn't ask him a thing. But Jesus did ask him to do something. Come on, come forward and stretch forth your hand. And so the man comes forward, and it says, and he stretched. Glory to God, right? He came forward and he stretched. He didn't come forward and say, Lord, help me. He stretched. And when he stretched, it says what? His hand was restored whole as the other. That tells me something. This man's hand wasn't always withered. Because it was restored. At some point, that man had two perfectly good functioning hands and arms. I don't know what happened to him. I don't know if he contracted an illness or a sickness that then took his two perfectly good hands and arms and now just rendered it where he only had one. But now that Jesus wanted to do something for him, called him forth, told him to stretch, and the man stretched, his hand was now restored. And it said, not only was it restored, it said it was restored whole as the other. In other words, now, I don't know if his left hand or his right hand was withered, but whichever one, his formerly withered hand was now just as good as the whole hand. His arm before that was all withered and messed up, now was just as good as the arm that was strong. That means that imbalance was removed from that man's life. He was now in a place where now he was balanced out. He was now in a place where, it's funny the thing about balance. It's a funny thing about balance. Do you know, people don't have an appreciation for balance until they are in a place where they are losing their balance. Or they don't have, we don't appreciate balance until we're at a place of imbalance. You can sit in the chair all you want, and everything's okay. But if that chair starts to wobble, and you start to lose your balance, all of a sudden you are very discomforted. The idea of falling and crashing to the ground. We walk across the floor, and we don't think anything of it. Oh, but lose your balance. Trip and lose your balance. Slip on a banana peel or on some ice and lose your balance. And you will realize very quickly how terrifying it could be to be out of balance. And yet, so many of our lives are out of balance. We can do certain things well and we can't do other things. This man was out of balance. Whatever hand he had that worked well could do a whole lot of things. That withered hand, not so much. He was strong at certain things, weak at other things. He could do certain other things, but he couldn't do certain things because of this withered hand. He was out of balance. And by blessing this man and now restoring his hand and making it just like the other, Jesus restored balance in this man's life. Most people don't understand that they're out of balance. They think they're okay. You're out of balance. Right? That's why your emotions go up and down so much. You're out of balance. That's why your faith goes up and down so much. You're out of balance. Because see, things that are imbalanced are things that are balanced are steady. Things that are balanced are stable. Right? When something is not, it was out of balance, then it's teetering and it's tottering. It may fall, it may crash, it may break. And some of us spiritually are out of balance. Because we can believe God over here in this area of our life, perhaps, but we can't believe him over here. I can believe God for finances, but I can't believe him for healing. I can believe God for salvation, but I can't believe God for provision or for protection. We're out of balance. And God wants us to be perfectly in balance. Why? Because now we're steady. Now we're able to be stable. Now we're able to move forward with a strength and an assurance and not tottering, right? Elijah once asked the people who were tottering between Baal and God, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If God be God, follow him." And I know we look at that and go, what's that have to do with us? You might be surprised, it has more to do with you than anything. Because on the one hand, you do believe God, but on the other hand, you don't. On the one hand, he's faithful, true, and reliable, but on the other hand, you can question him till the cows come home. You're in balance. You're out of balance. You got a strong hand, you got a withered hand. Part of your faith is strong, and another part of your faith is withered. Of no use. Whatever it is you can't believe God on, your faith is with it. Oh, you can believe him over here. Praise the Lord. But then in this area of your life, your faith is shriveled up. How long halt ye between two opinions? Because he's the same God. He's not partially faithful. So we can't believe God in one area and think he's not worthy of believing in some other area. God is faithful totally, amen. A God who cannot lie. And God is saying unto us that, listen, I want you to be whole. I want you to be in balance. I want you to be stable. I want you to not have, you know, strength and weakness. I want you wholly strong in me. And that's what he did to this man. But a man had to do something. He had to stretch forth his hand. And when he did, he now was made whole. So I pray that we hear God saying something to us today, and a few somethings. God is letting us know, I want to do something for you. Jesus saw this man, wanted to do something. Jesus sees you right where you are, and you want to do something. He wants to do something for you. It's not even about what you want. Jesus has already moved some things around in the heavenlies and in the earth to do something for us that we haven't even asked him to do. You should let that excite your faith. You should let that excite your faith. You can leave it there and don't do anything with it. Don't pick it up. That's fine too. That choice is up to you. But I'm telling you the truth. God wants to do something for you. You haven't even asked him. But it is going to require you and me to do something. We're going to have to stretch beyond our limitations. You're going to have to go beyond what you customarily can believe God for. You're going to have to do something beyond what you've done. I heard a preacher preaching this morning, and he said this old line that people always say, and it's true. If you want something that you never had, you got to do something you've never done. It's true. That's true. But the truth, we don't pay any attention to. Not often enough. Because all you got to do is look at the things that people do that are the same thing day in and day out. And if you do the same thing, I don't care what it is, the result is the same. If you take the same route to work, assuming same traffic conditions, it's going to take you the same time to get there. Right? Whatever you do, that's the same. What's going to change? So God is saying to us, I need you to trust me enough to stretch your faith, to stretch beyond your limitations. If you're, and pray unto God, please, that he will reveal unto you what areas that you are struggling to believe him in. And do not be filled with any kind of sense of, I'm not struggling in any area. We all are. We all are. We all have some struggles in certain areas in our ability to believe God. Ask him to reveal it unto you. And when he does, let that be the place where you say unto God, Lord, this is where I'm stretching out in faith. I'm going to stretch forth my withered hand. I'm going to stretch forth my withered faith. I'm going to stretch forth my withered belief in this area because I know you want to do something for me. But it's going to take me to do something as well. Philippians 2 and 13, it says to us that God is at work in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That means then that when it comes to a situation like this, we're without excuse because God is working in us. And if nothing is being done, if we're in the same situation, and it's because, it's not because God's not working, it's because we're not working alongside of him. Mm-hmm. We have to, God is always working. We have to work with him. Amen? We have to work with him. And I'm just praying, amen, and I can only speak for myself, but right now, nowhere in the world I want my life to be the same as it was last month, last year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, 12 years ago. Amen? I'm not satisfied with that. God said, with long life I will satisfy you. This should be a part of your life that life should be satisfying. Doesn't mean everything goes your way. We have tragedies, upsets, disappointments, losses, betrayals, all kinds of things. But even still, God says, he talks about satisfying life. Amen. I have come that you might have life and that more abundantly, that you might have and enjoy life in abundance to the full till it overflows. If we're going to have that, then we're going to have to stretch beyond our limitations. And here's the challenge for you. If you don't think you need to do this, then tell me and tell God without blinking, I'm perfectly satisfied with my life right now. If you can't say that, then you are a candidate for stretching. Amen. And you got to stretch beyond our previous limitations. Amen. Amen. So I pray that God's word is speaking unto you, and you hear him. Amen. And you hear his heart. He wants to do something for you. He's working on it right now. You haven't even asked him, but he's doing it. But there's going to come a point, if you're not already there, that you're going to have to stretch beyond your previous limitations in order to see what God is doing and what he's working on coming to pass in your life. Amen. Let's rest on our feet today. Father, we just thank you and praise you right now, God. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, God. I just bless you, Lord, because, Father, you are so good and you're so kind. We just give you all the praise and all the glory. God, we thank you, Lord, that you're so mindful of us, that, God, you're looking down upon us, oh, God, with compassion, with kindness, and with grace. And, Father, God, that you're concerned about us. And, Father, you said you would perfect the things that concern us. And, Father, God, we know, Father, God, that you desire good things for our lives. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are orchestrating things in the heavens. We thank you right now, God, that you are taxing every grain of sand in order to bless your people. And so, Father God, we just pray that your will be done. But God, we know, Father, that we have to be part of it. And so, Father God, you're calling us today to stretch beyond our limitations. You're calling us today, God, to go beyond the previous restrictions, to go beyond the previous landmarks that we've placed in our lives. Father, identify them for us. Let us know where it is, oh God, where we need to stretch out in faith, where we need to stretch out in new directions, where we need to do something that we've never done before. Because, Father, we believe that as we do that, we shall see the blessing of God come in our life, that just as this man walked in with a withered hand and walked out with two hands perfectly whole, that, Father, we can see the same kind of transformation in our lives in the name of Jesus. Father, be it done unto us according to our faith. And Father, we bless you and we praise you for it in the name of Jesus. Now, God, we just lift you up. We magnify you. We glorify you. And we give you all praise, for you are worthy of it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.